B-Pod Studios.
A lot of people don't know this, but the Mercury 7, the original seven astronauts, were supposed to be the Mercury 8. A man that it's a pleasure to have him on the air with us. He is on the other coast of Florida right now. The man that was left out of the original seven. It's a pleasure to have Charles Johnson on the phone. Good afternoon, Charles.
Good afternoon.
Explain this, because I've just recently started hearing about this, that originally when the original astronauts were picked back all the way back in 1959, seven were selected, and you essentially were the eighth man and did not get picked. Will you tell me what happened there?
Pretty much what you said.
You, I guess, trained. You're a fighter pilot. I guess been in fought in several wars.
Right.
You know how to fly a jet.
Right.
They were going around. They were beginning to think, you know, who are we going to get to be the first men in space? Your name, Charles, was kicked around a little bit.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them were test pilots and what have you, and. I had combat experience. I had been in WW2, and continued on my career in the military until I had the opportunity with NASA, which at that time probably is a lot more prestigious now than it was then. I say at the beginning, of course, when they'd announced the missions and turned on the publicity, it became more well-known. NASA is a corrupt organization.
Oh, come on.
Filled with nothing but ne'er-do-wells and eggheads.
Now, there's a little bit of bitterness there with you, I tend to think, Charles.
Or I think I got good reason to be. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. And John Glenn's always been just a son of a bitch and ready to whore himself out for whatever's convenient for that time. They run him out of the United States Senate.
He retired
for incompetence.
He retired from the U.S.
And,
Senate.
He has run out of the space program as well.
He was
and
not.
Now he's come back. And if you take a look at him, you'll be seeing plenty of him on TV. He's probably got brown smear all over his face from kissing NASA ass, which is something I never would do.
Is that why you were not selected for the original astronauts? You
no,
think that was it?
There's one reason why I wasn't selected, and that's John Glenn.
Now,
he is the biggest horse's ass.
Hold on a second.
You would ever want to meet, and for your sake, I hope you don't.
I got the press release. You guys, you know, the original Mercury 7, and you included when you, I guess, in the beginning, you guys were all good friends. I mean, you have to have a lot of respect for a guy like John Glenn.
I don't have any respect for him. As far as Mercury.
Yeah.
I had few. Real close friends. I would count Gus and Coop as two of the good guys there. The rest of them was pretty much being led around by the
Really? You mean your ass?
John Glenn had a leash on him, and it's almost like he thought he was a big man in a prison cell, and they'd do whatever he says, of course, except for Coop and Gus.
Right. Is there
And Gus is dead, and Coop's lost his mind, so that don't do me much good, does it?
Is there... I sense jealousy here, though, with you,
Mr.
Johnson.
If people knew the half of the space program, I mean, they killed Gus.
Well, of course, we know the Apollo fire back in 67.
I didn't give him the chance to do it to me, see? Because I knew when it was time to get out. It goes back to that son of a bitch come up to me, and he said...
Who came up to you?
Who the hell do you think? It's John Glenn. He come up to me, and he said, you know what? We're looking for something called the right stuff, and I don't like the way you look.
He said that to you?
He said it to me. And I said to him, well, mister... Hot shot, apple pie, kiss ass. I said, you don't know who you're talking to. I've killed a man with my bare hands before.
Really?
And John Glenn didn't scare me one goddamn bit.
So,
we was in the lounge of a restaurant over there. They called Bernard's Surf.
Sure, very famous restaurant over there.
And that's when he come up to me, and I guess he'd broken his Christian code or whatever it was, and had gotten a couple of pops in him, and he held his liquor like a goddamn woman. And he comes up to me and says, "I don't like the way you look, you son of a bitch."
I look back. Said that to you at a restaurant? As you and the whole gang?
Yeah, now that everybody was there, and Gus and Coop was sitting by me, and of course,
sure.
Glenn was a big wheel. And so they weren't going to back me up.
Sure.
I can't say that I blame them.
Right, they got to stay on board.
They don't, you know, when you killed a man with your bare hand, you can take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
I knew that too, and I looked at him, and I said, "You son of a bitch. You rotten son of a bitch. Don't you dare say that to me."
Uh-huh.
I said, "I've served this country more than you ever will."
Uh-huh.
"And you come back, little boy, when you've killed a man with your bare hands."
And what did he say to you?
He didn't say nothing.
Right,
he
but
sat there with a stupid look on his face long enough for me to bust my beer bottle and crack him across the face with it.
And that, of course, got you booted out of the space program.
It didn't help.
Let me
if I had to do it over again, yeah. I'd do it over again.
Sure, sure.
And he just lucky he didn't get what that goddamn crap got. Because let me tell you something, partner. If you ever wallet around on the ground with somebody with a knee at your back,
sure,
and barbed wire,
oh yeah,
around your neck,
yeah,
you'd think twice about it. Uh-huh. But of course, John Glenn, he knows more than everybody. That's all NASA is a bunch of kiss asses and eggheads.
Let me ask you,
they take credit for everything from damn electric razors to I don't know what, but it don't have a damn thing to do with it. You go up in an airplane and do the same things that they're doing with their goddamn ant colonies, and I don't know what they think they're doing up there.
What?
I could understand it when we was trying to go to the moon.
Sure.
Because we didn't know what the hell was up there.
Right.
But
if we're
going to go to the moon, they better damn well have somebody that's killed a man with his bare hands.
You say we, but of course you weren't a part of the space program because you got booted out.
I left with no regrets.
Well, you left.
I don't associate with cowards, with the exception of Gus and Coop.
Right.
Every one of them seven was cowards.
What happened to you, Charles? You got booted out of the space program before the first Redstone Mercury rocket went up. Putting Alan Shepard. What became of you?
Well, you got to remember, this is back in the early 60s when I left NASA.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you know, there hadn't really been a Vietnam yet.
Sure. Just
and they didn't know what they know now about what combat does to people.
Uh-huh.
So I don't say it's somebody else's fault, but they didn't really understand.
What happened? What happened?
I had a drinking problem.
Yeah, sure.
I went through a couple of wives. And
it's unfortunate.
Yeah. I was married to Isabel.
Isabel.
During the space program.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she wanted to be married to an astronaut, so I called her in Deke Slayton's bed. Rat bastard.
Now,
but, later on, I met a little party girl.
Yeah.
College girl was protesting and whatnot.
Right.
I tried to straighten her out. Her name was Margie. She was as pretty as can be. But
yeah, what happened there?
When you got a drinking problem, you can't make a good, and I wasn't going to. It was cute at first,
right.
But after I explained to her what combat is like.
Right, and killing a man with your bare hands.
When you've killed a man with your bare hands, you understand what combat is about.
Sure.
And you can't tell these damn college kids burning the flags and burning the bras. And I didn't mind the bras so much.
Right.
But when I see a flag go up, I'm ready to kill. And when you got a drinking problem, we didn't need. Oh, I was doing. Crack cocaine. We didn't even know it was called crack cocaine. We didn't know it was bad for us.
Charles.
We didn't know any of this. And I'm proud to say that I'm 2 years sober now.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And I got to ask you.
Just have an occasional beer or glass of wine with dinner.
Right, but that's it, huh?
Yeah. I can handle it now.
Okay. I got to ask you. We got about 10 seconds
I'm
left.
I'm on
what?
Disability.
I understand that. But do you wish
John... And if it was up to John Glenn, yeah. Son of a bitch would introduce something into the Senate to take that away.
But you have to wish him well. I mean, you gotta have a little bit of pride. There's one of your own there up there in
he's
space.
He's got nothing to do with me, friend.
All right.
Yeah, he's never killed a man with his bare hands. Okay?
Charles, I want to thank you.
He's got nothing to do with me.
All right, we got to go now, Charles.
The only reason I come down here...
Bye.
It's because the Enquirer paid my way.
Bye, Charles.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Hi, this is Buzz Aldrin. You're listening to Stan and Haney.
Roger.
On A-Rock.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say, 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon. We like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Once in a while, we get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is well, unairable. Stan and Haney on 96 K Rock.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
All right.
We're Stan and Haney, and we're, thank God, back from vacation. I'm telling you, for me, thank God. As you can hear, I'm a little nasally. I got a bit of a cold.
I don't know what it is, Stan. I honestly don't. Because every time, and I mean every time, you and I have kind of a cats in the cradle thing going on. Because every time we go on vacation, it's, you know what? You and I, we should take a day. You know what? We're definitely doing it this time.
We used to do it. We used to do it all the time.
And so, a lot of times it's been my fault.
Yep.
And this time I said, nope. I am going to make sure that I am available when Stan wants to take a day with me and we go and do whatever.
Yeah.
Made sure that I was up at the crack of effing dawn.
You were. I was surprised when you contacted me. I said, he's up nice and early. For you.
Yeah. And then I don't hear anything from you. Until when I would have gotten up anyway, and then you go, yeah, I don't really want to do this anyway. I'm going to pass.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea how sick I was. We had 2 weeks off.
What has gone on with you, man?
Horrible.
This is self-inflicted.
I think part of it might be self-inflicted. We had 2 weeks off.
And do you notice it doesn't seem like we've been gone for 2 weeks?
Seems like it's been like yesterday.
It seems like we're right back where we were talking about, hey, we're about to go on vacation.
Yep. I'll tell you more at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, because this will entail a lot of stuff. But I'll tell you this right now. We were gone for 2 weeks. Summer vacation. We always take 2 weeks in the summer.
And time is bizarre, our perception of it anyway.
Yeah. And of the 2 weeks, I had 3.5 days where I had fun. I got to see Jeff Lynn in Tampa.
How were your accommodations?
My accommodations?
Yeah.
Oh, they were great.
Pricey?
Yes. more. Well, leave it to my girlfriend's company, who has a service that books places. I got a discount, so it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It wasn't double. It was only like $34 or $40 more.
Yeah, that's the mark of a sucker.
Yeah.
Going, oh, yeah, well, it could have been, 50% more, but it was only 34%, because I'm smart.
Yeah. So I was there, and then I got 2 great days in Orlando playing Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill.
That is like your heaven.
It is pure heaven. You're a member of his country club for 2 days. You're staying at the lodge. You're playing his course, and everything is great. The only thing that wasn't great about it, and I had a wonderful time, the only thing that wasn't great about it is so many people want to play Bay Hill, and in the summertime, it's the members aren't there, and they start taking people that are staying at the lodge or are guests of the Bay Hill. And so they will pair you up in foursomes. So if there's two, it was me and my buddy Jeff. Well, you're playing with two complete strangers that you don't know about, because they tee them off in foursomes.
And you got no idea what you're in for.
You have no idea. You don't know if you're playing with a scratch golfer. You don't know if you're playing with an idiot.
And you also don't know if you're about to meet somebody you can't stand or someone that'll be a friend the rest of your life.
Yep, correct. First day, we were paired up with 2 great guys. They were about the same level golfers we are, and they
had the proper perspective.
And the proper perspective, and it was a great day. The second day, you know what? There should be, and I don't care if it's politically correct or not, there should not be a pairing of golfers going out as a foursome where one of them's a stroke victim. Because I had a, we were teamed up with, beautiful story, father and son going out, and I think the son one last time with dad. You know, he's not getting any younger, and we got to be able to, while we still can, do something with dad. And you know what? I'm going to fulfill one of his dreams. I'm going to take him to the legendary Bay Hill Golf Course Country Club, and we're going to play golf. And they get,
isn't that lovely?
And they get paired up with Stan.
Yeah.
And the son...
That'll make for a memorable final memory.
And the son was okay. He was a good golfer, and he had his hands full with dad because dad wasn't all there. Dad...
You're telling me that maybe he's thinking we should do this while we still can. He should have thought about that maybe 5-10 years ago.
Correct. Because I swear to God, I was talking to my buddy Jeff. I said, "Has he had a stroke? Is there some?" He goes, "Yeah, there's something wrong with the guy." We get out. We all tee off. He gets up, hits it about 15 yards, hits it another 15 yards, and it's going. I'm like, "You got to be kidding me!" Now I'm at the 11th hole. I'm having the game of my life. And he is completely oblivious to his surroundings. His son is yelling at him, "Dad, you got to get out of the fairway. There's a player behind you." Me. "He has to take his shot before you."
Now, was he just completely disengaged, or he have any tics? Or
disengaged. He shuffled, and he quit after... 14 holes because he got too tired.
What do you do? Just sit down?
Yep. Yep. So I'm having the round.
What, the son leave him with a sign that said play through?
Yes. I'm having the round of my life. And I'm getting up there.
Epic.
Epic. I just have a little chip shot to get up on the green, make my par on the hole. And I'm getting ready to go into my chip and there's my buddy Jeff saying, "Don't hit the ball, Stan." "What? Why?" "Well, the father's about 20 yards in front of you, directly in front of you. He's got three or four different clubs."
Reminds me of when you told me to be careful of the groundskeepers. Yeah. You let fly.
So he hits his shot. It goes into the sand trap. And he's standing there with clubs all on in the fairway. "Dad, you gotta move! You gotta move!" He's not looking back, not paying attention to his son. He can't bend down to pick up his golf clubs, so he steps on it with his foot so that the wedge will kick the club up so he can grab it. And then he's standing there, threw my game completely off. I lost my concentration. I take my chip. It goes in the trap. Where does it land? Right next to Paz. I walk into the trap to take my shot. Now I'm looking at bogey. And as I'm in the bunker getting ready to take my shot, I hear behind me his footsteps crunching through the sand and standing there. And sure enough, I scull the thing. It goes in the water. I'm like, "I've had it. Get to the next hole." I'm so frustrated. I'm so bent.
And up until that point, it was the game of your life.
Game of my life. I was coming off of three pars in a row.
Like Field of Dreams level stuff. You
know, for me.
Yeah.
At Bay Hill.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I'm teeing off at the next hole. It's a short par three. Piece of cake for me. I'm hitting the ball better than I've ever hit it. I get up, and because he can't walk normally. Taking steps, because I think he was a stroke victim. And he shuffles.
Let's do it while we still can.
Yeah, while we still can.
No,
yeah.
Nobody asked Dad.
I hear the...
Ask Dad if he still can. What?
He's scraping his feet into the tee box. I'm supposed to be in the tee box alone. He's shuffling up, club in his hand, ball in the other hand, walking up as I'm trying to get ready just to put this shot on the green. And I hear him shuffling up behind me. I should have just stopped, turned around, regrouped, and done it. But I was so mad from the other hole, I said, "Let's just get this moving," and I hear him shuffling. And sure enough, there it goes. I shoot it over into the trap, wind up, you know,
boy,
double bogey.
You know, that father and son, they're so lucky that they ended up with someone that has the patience that you have.
When you're sitting there hitting three from the tee. There's one hole there where there's water that wraps all around it. It's par five. Pa tees up, hits it into the water. Just trickles it. It's not in the water. It's where the water starts. I think I'm going to do another one. There's no swing. It goes back from the ball maybe 2 feet. Tink. Rolls in the heavy grass, trickles in the water. I'm going to do another. Meanwhile,
so this is the,
I'm trying to go at $150 a throw.
This would be the equivalent of a professional bowler being next to a toddler with the rails up, rolling the ball with both hands next to him.
100% right. 100% right. And so, threw me off so bad. And then he comes up. He wants to make some conversation while his son's up putting. I had already finished with the hole. So he comes up to me. And it was scarier looking at him close up, too. Because he was about 300 and something pounds to begin
what?
With.
What?
Yeah, big, fat.
Usually you'd lose some weight with a stroke.
No, not him. And his son, to start the round, put sunscreen on his face. Because
oh,
he had
God.
A lot of rosacea.
Yeah.
And put sunscreen on his face so that when he came up to me, probably, I don't know, the seventh or eighth hole, I took a look at him, and the sunscreen had caked up, and his whole face looked like he was stuck in the middle of eating like a banana cream pie or something. And it was disturbing. And when you play, you like to play at a pace. They separate groups 10 minutes apart, and you got to keep going.
Well, the only thing that I've observed about you is it will annoy you if someone in front of you is slowing you down.
I hate that, too.
But the worst for you is when you're involved in a group and you see other people that have caught up to you that are waiting for you. You get more bent out of shape about
yep.
that
yep.
than you being inconvenient.
Last year playing there, we played.
Because you don't, it's very important to you on the golf course that others think highly of you.
Yeah, exactly, and leave me alone.
Now, you don't think this way in life.
No.
But on the golf course.
Last year, now, trust me, I take pride in my pace of play. Last year when we played Bay Hill, this 2 years in a row, although the day before was better. Last year I had a Filipino who was a good golfer, young kid. But he
some young kid?
Yeah.
The famous golfer?
Yes, sir. Had to analyze every shot, and his dad didn't bring along his putter, so they're swapping it, and we were so slow. First time in my life I had a ranger come up to me and say, you've got to pick up the pace. And I remember...
it may as well have been, that was like your personal carry.
I was like, what? Take a look at the people
there's
that Stan were paired
in
with.
His prom dress with blood all
yes!
over him.
God.
Effing ranger coming up to Stan.
I don't care if it's politically correct or not. Do not. On a major country club golf course, have a stroke victim playing with three others. Don't!
I would think that wouldn't be allowed at a course the caliber of a Bay Hill.
You
see that at the park all
yeah.
the time.
Oh, yeah, but Bay Hill? And I'm telling you, it's nerve-wracking there because they announce you at the first tee.
They do.
They make the announcement.
How'd they do
now,
with your last name?
I butchered it.
What'd they call you?
I can't even. The second day he did better. But just every time I'm there, but they make the big announcement. And it leaves you rattled. And then I see
but they do it for everybody.
Oh, yeah. But you're not paying attention to that.
But you think everybody's paying attention to your name.
Well.
Although you don't pay attention to anybody else's name. It's a big deal when he says your name.
The guy that was there at the starter, just seeing how things were going, was a man by the name of Fred Saunders. Fred Saunders is the man that runs Bay Hill now ever since Arnold Palmer passed away. He is the son-in-law of Arnold Palmer, and his son this past week just shot a 65 in the final round, Sam Saunders, of the tournament he was in. They're calling me up, butchering my name, and there's Fred Saunders, the guy that runs the whole damn thing, looking at him, and he's watching me tee off. I'm sorry, it rattled me.
The Sam Saunders?
Yeah.
I think that's the guy that makes my phone.
Different guy.
I have a Sam Saunders.
I gotta take a break.
Sam Saunders, isn't that it?
No.
I know it's Sam something.
And keep in mind, this was my fun time. The rest of the time, I was under medical treatment.
Think he makes my TV, too.
Oh, for
Sam Saunders?
It's Matt Mangus back on.
Southwest Florida, we're always here to help. But unfortunately, there's actually very little we can do. Sorry. Just try not to focus on the pain. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney live today, back from vacation. My name's Stan. There's my pal, Mark Haney.
Well, how'd it do?
We're going to do the grab bag just a second, but I had to print it up because there were so many. I noticed this probably about 16, 17 years ago, that whenever Haney and I go on vacation, a lot of celebrities die. Don't ask me why. We go away for 2 weeks in the summer, and then they start falling like leaves off an oak tree. Here's a list of while we were gone.
Oh, people. Is this going to be some sort of in memoriam?
Yeah, do you got something for that? People and celebrities that passed away while we were on this last vacation. I remember years ago, when Ted Williams died, they froze him. We were on vacation. But it seems like celebrities die when we choose to take time off. Here's a list of people who have died since we've been on vacation.
That's not appropriate.
That's too upbeat. Give me some sour.
I know what I'm looking for, but I can't remember. Give me 1 second here. Because I'm trying to remember a specific song.
Grab bag coming up. But I want to go over this list because some of these people have been on our show over the years as well. You find it yet?
1 second. It'll so be worth it.
Okay, I'm going to take your word for it.
Jim Carroll, people who died.
Oh no, Matt, we're not doing that.
By the way, he's back. By the way, Matt Mangus is back on
K-Rock. I saw that. He did his own commercial.
Yeah,
and
he's back. He's middays now. About damn time. Get rid of that dead weight we had there for a few weeks.
Oh, you know how lucky we are to have Matt Mangus?
Yeah. And I got a call over vacation. Hey, Stan, guess what? The dead weight's gone. I said, about damn time. It was a damn cancer in this radio station. Okay. If you find it.
I'm working on it. It'll be so worth it. I promise you.
I trust you. You want me to start the grab bag? Then you can go and find it? Because I've given you about 4 minutes already.
Yes, I've got it.
Okay, good. Jeez, I feel better now. Well, I don't feel great, but I feel better. Okay. Okay. These are people we've... These are people we've lost this time around when Stan and Haney take a vacation. Every summer, major people in our lives pass away. Just yesterday. Yes, last night. Legendary boxer Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker.
Just walking down the street.
Yep. 1984 Olympic gold medalist, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters of all time, died yesterday, last night, hit by a car. He was 55. a gentleman we've had on the show, and probably one of the first baseball players to write about the inside of the game, Jim Boughton, former Yankee, author of Ball 4, died while we were on vacation. Denise Nickerson, child actress who played...
Veruca Salt.
Violet Beauregard.
Oh, I thought it was the other one.
The gum chewer who turns blue from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Dead. Emmy Award-winning actor Rip Torn. Know him, of course, from the Larry Sanders Show.
You know,
Men in Black and tons of other things.
What's interesting about him, he was in the business his whole life, but it was as he got older that he really got good.
Yep. Passed away. Ross Perot.
Great American.
Self-made billionaire, businessman, made headlines, ran for president in 92 and 96. Actually put Bill Clinton in office because he took votes away from George H.W.
You know one of the last things he did before he died?
Oh, contributed to the Trump campaign.
Max.
The Max. Guest on this show. Artie Johnson from Laughing. Very interesting. He passed away on our show. Trying to forget. The iconic automaker, Lee Iacocca, passed away. He saved Chrysler from going under.
They say he did, but all he did was come up with that K car that was junk.
Yep. Also designed...
And was in charge of some of the worst years of auto production.
Also designed the Ford Mustang and the Escort.
Well, let's focus on the Mustang and not saving Chrysler.
Right.
Because all he did was fool the public.
And then, of course, tragic. Tyler Skaggs, the starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels, passing away. All while we were on vacation this year. It always happens. Hills and trees.
How's my tribute?
Our hearts and skinned our... Phenomenal. Let me see who's waiting on hold here. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is John. How are you guys?
John, how are you? What can I do for you?
Just calling in for the grab bag.
Okay.
Yeah, what about it?
What do you got?
How about some Godsmack tickets?
Jesus.
What?
Rob, we got a screen. We need to screen.
You know what? At this point, I'm inclined to go ahead and indulge Matt Mangus.
Oh, please. The clue. He was 12 years old. Fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Yep. Bobby got leukemia, 14 years old. He lived at 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine. Those are people who died. Yep. Those are people who died. Yep.
They were all my friends.
Yep. They died. Let's do the grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North in North Naples. Listen to young people today.
Are you talking about kids today?
Yep. They love to use the word like.
Like AOC likes to use like?
She uses it a whole lot.
I like that mini AOC, that 8-year-old girl.
Here you go.
There's an epidemic in America. It's like the overuse of like the word like. Here's an example from a recent episode of Love Island. See how many unnecessary likes you can count.
I like a guy who's, like, artistic and, like, creative.
Oh, nice.
Like, I like guys who are, like, graphic designers, like, photographers.
Nice.
I know, it's kind of hard to find.
I like guys that are, like, pursuers. Mm-hmm. Like, if they like me, they will let me
know. Like, I love funny people. Like, they have to make me laugh.
7 unnecessary likes. You can help us all. Beginning today, stop overusing the word like. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, those of you that really take full advantage of the Absolute Law text line, not on our end, on the phone company's end, it's down today.
What?
So we can't get any texts today.
Why? They had 2 weeks.
I know that. It's broken on somebody else's end. So we can't get the texts.
Oh, before I forget to tell you.
What?
And I know you make fun of me for it.
What?
About how I read a lot of single-space, useless information.
Yeah.
But occasionally, I'll come across something that other people haven't.
Like, stop using the word like.
Well, like, for instance, Jeffrey Epstein's personal phone book, where I found Dustin Hoffman's number and Jimmy Buffett's number.
Oh, well, he had a lot of those numbers in there. A lot of people like to hang with him.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, his house was very perverted.
Well, he built a satanic temple, but that's not even what I'm talking about. I was looking at the official list of people who are running for president on the Democratic side.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've got your usual, what is it, like 24 of them that are the front runners.
Yeah.
But people who have officially registered, I'm looking down this, and who pops up but our old friend, Senator Mike Gravel.
He's running again?
Who must be 112 by now.
Yeah.
But he is listed as a Democratic candidate for president. I think we need to get behind him again.
He was a United States senator. Where was he? Maine?
Alaska.
Alaska. You people scare me. That's all I remember about him.
Yep.
You people scare me.
Well, he was right next to Hillary Clinton and said that to you. You people scare me.
New York had another blackout.
Yeah, but you notice when things like this happen, somehow the New York papers turn it into some sort of romantic thing.
I know. The anniversary of the last time it happened in 77.
And, oh, look, somebody was getting married, but they pulled a car up and put the brights on them. Oh, look at this. Broadway went dark, but the cast came outside and sang a song. It's like the second coming.
72,000 people. Amazingly enough, the power outage, they needed to do a quick workup.
I wouldn't want to be there.
Press conference. And when they were doing the press conference is when the power finally came back on.
I would not want to be there.
Root cause investigation to identify what may have caused it. That will follow later today.
Just went on behind you. How do you feel about
good
that?
Good job. Good job.
I feel just as well as everyone.
By the way, you're good at what you do.
There you go.
So, Stan, who would you bet on, Iran or China?
Oh, my money is on China.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. Okay. Follow me on this. And I'll stop the grab bag for a while.
What? Why would you stop the grab bag?
We're short on time, and then I got to tell you about what happened to me.
Well,
I'm not well right now, by the way.
I'm sorry, you lost time on the grab bag, but you had to go ahead and do the damn death dedication.
Yeah, I'm glad we did. Of course, you spent 5 minutes. Never mind.
Oh, I'm taking the blame for it.
Well,
now,
yeah.
You missed me, didn't you?
I did. I did. A couple in England named their kids Jack Daniel and
Jim Beam,
Tia Marie.
Aww.
Yep. Like Jack Daniels and the coffee liqueur Tia Maria. They say it has nothing to do with alcohol.
Let's do a stripper named Tequila Van Halen.
Because they don't drink. They just liked the names.
Well, that's stupid.
Uh-huh. The kids have been bullied online, and so Dad decided to interview them. What do you think of your names?
Would you change it?
No. Why don't you call Jack? Come with Daniel.
Thomas Daniel. He can be what? Civic Artie. And do you get picked on for your name?
No.
I'd say you get picked on for having ginger hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. But people have learned to love Jack for his name and his ginger hair, and he's not changing one bit of his name or one bit of his ginger hair. So what would you say to all the people that are putting nasty comments there?
Stop being jealous of our names and you get on with your life.
Well, you're lucky you're not in America where you'd be picked on for your accent.
Yep. And you know, as I've always said, and you've said it too, it's Jack Daniel's. So what? It's the jerk. They are a different type of person.
Yeah.
They don't operate the same way we do.
You know, there's a theory that all of this coming out of the geographic area that is now the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
That it is thought that perhaps gingers were originally what people thought of as sprites,
yep.
elves,
because yep.
there was something off about them.
Yep.
And they were a shy people, and so
yes.
they'd see him peeking from behind a bush yep. and go, hey, what is that? Yep. It's a fairy.
Yep. They're just different.
Yep.
It's completely understandable. Look at the people that you know, and I'm not talking about the girls that like to dye their hair red. I'm talking about a true ginger. They're different.
Genetically ginger.
Genetic. Yes. We'll be back.
A lot of times what you can't get past is those eyebrows.
Yep. Yep. They're just different. They're different. I bet you draw blood on them, it's different. DNA, iron, different. Comes from a different species altogether.
Yep. Well, that's racist.
It is, but we know it to be fact.
Yeah, but everything's racist now, so yep. it's okay.
Yeah, so...
It's all racist.
Now, I haven't seen anything in the headlines about picking on gingers. And we all know they're different.
It's just... Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Not saying it's good or bad.
No.
But it's different.
You tell a joke to somebody that might be...
Very thin skinned.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Somebody that might be have brown hair or blonde hair or somewhere in between, and they'll react to a joke a certain way. A ginger will react totally different and extremely thin skinned.
But there's a lot of variety in the ginger community.
Yes, there is.
They're diverse.
They're very diverse. They're very capable.
The one ginger I'll never forget is the guy that was the program director here for a while.
Jeez.
Boy, he made no sense at all.
No. Howard Stern.
All right, well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would they send it to?
To me.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. The Absolute Law text line is out today. If you'd like to call us on a regular phone, 277-9600, you could pick up a prize. Oh, I found this over the weekend, and it's an oldie but a goodie, Haney, that we had, and I saved it and put it into the system because it is the best quality of this that I have ever heard. We had one, and the quality was nowhere near as good. We used to play it for years. It's the King, Elvis Presley, on his little onstage rant.
Oh, classic.
Here you go.
I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines. They don't read them because they're all junk.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, I don't mean to put anybody's job down. I'm talking about they have a job to do, and they got to write something. So if they don't know anything, they make it up, you know. So in my case, they make it up. When I hear rumors flying around, I got sick in the hospital. Well, I was, you know, in this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out. Oh, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life except on music.
Thank you very much.
When I got sick here in the hotel, I got sick here that one night. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform. From three different sources, I heard I was strung out on heroin. I swear to God, hotel employees, Jack, bellboys,
freaks
that carry your luggage up to the room, people working around, you know, talking, maids. And I was sick. I was, you know, I was getting, had a doctor, had the flu, and I got over one day and was like,
thank you very much.
All across this town, was strung out. So I told him earlier, and don't you get offended, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to somebody else. If I find or hear the individual that has said that about me, I'm going to break your goddamn neck, you son of a bitch.
We love you.
That is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is damaging to myself, to my little daughter.
Your doctor.
To my father.
Your doctor.
To my friends.
Doctor.
My doctor.
Thank you.
To everybody, my relationship with you, my relationship with up here on the stage, it is dangerous. I will pull your goddamn tongue out by the roots. Thank you very much. Anyway, let me get out of this mood.
Yeah, well, 277-9600.
Oh.
We've got stuff to give away if you contribute to the show, 277-9600. About a woman I know. When it comes to loving, she steals the show. She ain't exactly pretty, ain't exactly small. 42, 39, 56, you can say she's got it all. Never had a woman like you.
Freeze it. Carry your luggage.
Bellboys. Maids.
People that spit in your food.
Doctor. Let's say hi to some of our friends. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Andrew.
Andrew. Hi, Andrew. What's up, Andrew?
I just wanted to say welcome back, guys. We missed you.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed your vacation. I'm glad you didn't go to the Dominican Republic.
I did not. I felt like I did.
Yeah, you see another one dropped.
Yeah, another one dropped.
Yep, number 13 now.
Andrew,
isn't it amazing? His last words were, this soda tastes funny.
Yeah, it tastes a little funny. it's called antifreeze. What can I get
you? I bet you it's Hezbollah.
What can I get you?
Do you guys still have SummerSlam tickets?
Yeah, you want to go?
Yeah, I would love to.
All right, hold on. 277-9600. I'll go to another call here in a second. So right before vacation, trust me, I look forward to the 2 weeks. I can rest my brain, relax, do some fun things that I normally don't do. But right before vacation, I went for my regular dental checkup. And I usually...
Routine, huh?
Routine, every 6 months, like clockwork. And I usually get my clean bill of health. So I'm in the chair, just days before going on vacation. So I'm in the dental chair. Hygienist gets done with me and says, oh, everything looks good. I do need the doctor to take a look at one tooth, though, in your mouth.
Probably
Guess
nothing.
What? It's probably nothing. A little questionable. And so... my dentist, who I love, came in.
In a platonic way.
Yes. Yes. And said, you know what? I want to, that's a crown you have, and you've had a root canal done there. I want to take a look at that. I want to get an x-ray of that and see what's going on in there. And he looked at it, and he said, there's problems with this one. He says, you have an infection in one of the canals. It looks like the previous dentist that did your root canal left a couple of them untreated, didn't go in there and do the canal. He says, I'm going to set you up with a endodontist. They're the ones that go with, strictly with the root canals, specialist.
That's all they do.
Yeah, that's all they do.
Root canals
yep.
are us.
Yep. And I said to him, I said, come on, stop. I said, just do it yourself here in the office. Don't send me, give me a referral. Don't send me somewhere else. He goes, no, Stan, it's a tricky one.
Yeah, if he can't do it, that really worries me.
He said, I'm going to...
Because he's the best.
I'm going to refer you to a specialist for this. I said, well, great. I'm on vacation. I can take one day early in my vacation and have it taken care of. It was the Tuesday of our first week on vacation. And so I get in there and... This endodontist, during the consultation, which was a few days after that, said, I want to start you on an antibiotic and prevent the infection. when we go and do this root canal.
So what is a root canal exactly?
You have the nerves that go up into your gum and into your jaw. And it's where the pulp of the tooth is and a direct connection to your sinuses and everything up there. And they got to go drill in there, drill out the pulp and the nerve, get rid of it, and scrape it clean, and then fill it up. So that you essentially don't have pain in there anymore.
But in order to do that, you have to create a lot of pain.
Yes, well, they take the tooth, if you have a bad tooth or a broken tooth, they grind the tooth down to what they call a nub. Ugh. Then they go in there with the drills, and usually you have three canals in there that they got to clean out. And then they can put a crown on. Well, I had this was an existing root canal that was done 15 years ago.
Poorly. So is that really the whole reason, is it was bad work?
It was old and it was bad work. And he goes in and gives me my root canal, tells me, and I'll show you how bad a work it is, because I went to one of these Dentists R Us places before I found our guy, and they left two canals untreated and threw the crown on. And he was surprised that it lasted as long as it did. So he went and gave me two new root canals on that tooth. Now keep in mind, I'm all numbed up, and he's going up in there, and I'm feeling it. And as he's doing it, I hear something that doesn't sound right. I hear zing, bing, and I'm like, that doesn't sound right. So he finishes with my root canal.
So did you say?
Couldn't talk, but he knew what was going on. Guy's a pro. So he finishes the root canal, and he says, I've got good news and I got bad news. I said, what's the good news? He says, we were able to get the two root canals that weren't done. He says, I think I've solved the problem, gave you new root canals, filled the crown back up. You should be okay. I said, what's the bad news? He said, damned if I wasn't going into your crown and doing your root canal, that the crown behind it snapped off. I said, what? He said, it snapped off. I said, well, glue it back on. He says, I can't. He says, one, I don't have permanent glue here. He said, two.
Well, go to the store.
He said, two, the nub that the crown was sitting on.
There's a guy down at Home Depot will help you find it.
Broke. And it broke at an angle. And he said, the angle goes back and into your gum.
Back into the left.
That's where it is. Back into the left. And so I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? He said, you got to go and call your dentist, and he'll advise you what to do. This is, keep in mind, July 2nd. Coming up on the 4th of July. So I leave the office with a fixed tooth with my root canal, but the one next to it now is, I'm holding the crown in my hand.
Because you got one fixed, it damaged something
else.
Correct.
And he said, I'm going to ask you to continue with your antibiotics on this until you can go.
Because your mouth is an open sewer.
Yeah, what it is. And so the next day I call our dentist up. Hello, welcome to Dr. Renner's office. We are on vacation until July the 8th. I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing is driving me nuts. I've got to go up to Tampa. I'm spending days up in Tampa. Don't want to worry.
A lot of money invested in that Tampa trip.
A lot of money invested in what I just had done. I can't tell. All the work I've had done, insurance paid half of it. We're close to $4,000.
That's insane.
Completely insane. So, I'm like, what the F do I do? I need something on this tooth. And so, I went and I called another Stop and Shop dentist place. I said, I have a permanent dentist. He's on vacation, but I need a temporary crown put over this tooth until I can get him to fix it. I get there. The dentist, capable enough.
Not what you're used to. World class.
Yes. Capable enough. He looks in my mouth. He says, you realize that the nub of your tooth there where the crown was broke off. And it's flush to the gum, back into the left. And I said, yeah, what about it? He says, we can't put a crown on that. You don't.
But he didn't have glue either?
No, he says, you don't have enough tooth left there. He showed me
There's no there there.
There's no there there. I said, well, what can I do? I said, well, we got to make you a new crown. And I got to do another buildup on that tooth.
Which means I'm going to have to dig into your gum and raise that nub.
Yep. He said, I've got to cut 2 millimeters of gum out of your mouth.
Come on.
So I can build up a base and then put a crown on it for you. I'm like, are you kidding me? So he numbs me all up.
Back and to his
and
left.
He's cutting in the back of my mouth. This is vacation. He's cutting in the back of my mouth.
Back and to his left.
That's right. He's cutting in there. And he stops. He had me take a break because they were in elbow deep. And he said, I was able to cut enough gum away that I was able to...
Were you aware as they were cutting away live gum?
Yeah, they were gauzing and blood was everywhere.
But could you feel it?
No, I was numb.
But numb enough?
Yes. But here's what he told me. He said, quote, when that Novocaine wears off, you're going to be as sore as hell. And I'm like, well, thank you for that. Thank you for that info. Puts the crown on, second go around, puts the crown. He says, crown was able to fit on nicely. He said, but you want antibiotic now? I said, yeah. He says, we may want to continue with the antibiotic because you've got a good chunk of gum leaving your mouth. He said, but it should be all right. It'll heal. Blood, I was in agony through the whole weekend when I went up to go see ELO. Couldn't eat on that side of my mouth. Couldn't, nothing. First day that our dentist is back in the office, I call him. You gotta see me. This is all when I should be relaxing. He gets me in his chair. Open your mouth. Let's
Who
take
did
a look.
You see?
Well, that, yes.
Oh, my God. This is a massacre.
Yes.
Why would you let somebody do this to you, Stan? You're smarter than this.
He said, your gums are still wide open. He said, part of the reason is that the cement...
Who did this? A child with an X-Acto knife?
I need to cut out some of the cement that's in there. And he said, I have to put a laser to your gum.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
He said, almost like, as he said, treating it to close it. He said, almost like cauterizing. And he says to me in the chair, he says, you realize... that you've had significant oral surgery done here. And I thought he was just fitting me with a crown. He goes, no, he had to do this. But this was a major undertaking.
That you probably should have stuck with people you know to do.
But he wasn't there for a week. So he goes and does the laser, almost like what, like a cauterizing of the...
Cauterizing, yeah. Burning it.
Yeah. And so he does all of that. He says, you on antibiotics? Says, yeah. By the way, they ran out.
Of antibiotics?
No, I'm out of them. The ones they prescribed to me. So I'm saying, okay, let's let this thing nicely heal. I'll be rinsing with the salt water, hoping my mouth will heal. As that's going on, and I'm waking up in the morning, and I feel like I was hit with a left hook by Joe Frazier.
Oh, I bet.
I wake up, and I can't open my left eye. Why?
You got a lazy eye on Queer Street?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I can't open my left eye because, and I don't know if they two go hand in hand or what, I had a sty.
What?
That in the corner of my eye built up where my eyebrow...
So your mouth is a battlefield,
yeah,
and your eye has swollen shut.
Yes, I have a mouse above my left eye, and it's mousing up, and it's coming to a head.
Like you've been hit by Sweet Pea Whitaker,
yes,
on a bad day.
Yes, before he got hit. And I'm like, what more can go wrong? I feel...
Don't ever ask that.
I feel like hell. And I have to go to Bay Hill. And so I get...
Yeah, because you're supposed to be enjoying yourself.
Yep. So I'm
and at, somewhere in the middle of all this, you're blowing me off, too.
Yes. I'm playing golf on Friday.
So never once did you think, oh, I can't go see ELO or I can't go to Bay Hill.
No. I would be damned.
So you don't care if you're miserable.
I was miserable. I'm at Bay Hill, and I'm in the middle of my round, and all of a sudden I'm blinking a lot. Why? Because that's when the sty in my eye decided to bust open.
Oh, Jesus. Is this with the stroke victim?
No, this was the day before.
Oh.
So I'm dabbing my shirt sleeve into my eye.
And there's fluid coming out of your eye?
There's fluid coming out of my eye.
Can you describe the fluid, the consistency?
Viscous, mixed, swirled with blood.
Would you say like a 1030 or a 1040?
Very viscous.
Mm-hmm.
And but by the next round, it had dried up, and I was fine. But
so was there was no issues with viscosity or thermal breakdown?
Not afterwards.
Okay.
No. So and I leave Bay Hill yesterday, and I start coughing and getting the chills. And I'm wondering, is this a result of the sty, the crown, or the root canal, or is this just another thing? And, oh, so what? You got chills tonight, Stan. You got to go to work tomorrow. And so here I am. There's my vacation. We'll take
it's just a small snapshot.
Yeah.
In the life of Stan.
Yeah.
Stan, a life well led. Yeah.
If you're on hold,
you
stay.
Have spent more time in a dentist chair, yeah, than anybody I know.
Now, keep in mind, the dentist...
And that's including kids who had braces.
Yes.
You just have a dentist fetish.
The Beasley Dental Insurance took care of half, so I was responsible for $1,600 worth of procedures. And by the way, I don't know how I'll feel tomorrow, because at 9:30 tomorrow morning, I have another appointment with the endodontist to make sure everything's working normally. I'll take a break.
Is it supposed to be fixed now? Supposed
to
be.
Right now?
Yes.
I'll know tomorrow.
No, I mean, but in a perfect world,
no,
you still have procedures
to
be
back
done.
The crown is not permanently set in.
Is this the one with the major oral surgery,
yes,
done by the off-brand dentist?
Because my dentist said, I don't want to put the permanent glue on it yet, because if I pull off that crown, he said, I'd just be stirring up a hornet's nest. That was his word.
Oh,
if you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to take your phone calls next. I apologize. Prizes to give away, and if you contribute, phone calls next.
Did you see Paul and Ringo?
Yes, I did.
How was that?
That was something special.
96 K-Rock is where we've been for many years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out any time we like. And then they said something else, but I forgot what it was.
Stan and Haney
on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Phone lines open. We'll take your phone calls now. If you are holding, thank you. If you'd like to call in, feel free to do so. 277-9600. It's a 239 area. No text today. They're working on our text lines. So we'll take your phone calls. If you contribute to the show, we may give you a prize. We have Stan and Haney Barbecue Saw. We have WE SummerSlam Heatwave Tour tickets. Here's the deal. Korn is going to be in concert with Alice in Chains on July 28th. I have tickets for that at Coral Sky in West Palm Beach. just by getting a pair of tickets, you're in the running for the grand prize. They're going to put everybody who's gotten tickets into the hopper. And a drawing's going to be made, and one lucky pair of people are going to get front row seats. We've got Bam's Restaurant in Naples, Sunshine Ace Hardware, and, of course, our friends at Firehouse Subs. We have gift certificates to there at Cape Coral and Fort Myers, 277-9600. What do you got for us, Haney?
What are we doing?
Phones.
Oh, just open phones?
Yes, sir.
How about some, just like a polka medley?
All right. I love it. Yes. Yes, sir. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, this is Chris. How you doing?
Hey, Chris, welcome to the Stan and Haney Show.
Yeah, so last weekend I went to the ELO show. Don't tell me the Stan luck prepped into the ELO show for you.
No, here's one thing.
Oh, it was all over the place.
Here's one thing about the ELO show, because my girlfriend got us phenomenal seats. We were first row on the side, just off the floor. And so we're sitting there.
So from Jeff Lynn's perspective, you were just a little bit back and to the left.
So at any rate, Danny Harrison, George Harrison's son, as you know, opened up the show.
I do.
And during the Jeff Lynn portion, the ELO portion, he comes up on stage and sings Handle With Care, the Woolberries song with Jeff. So we're sitting there, we're in the front, and I just wish my girlfriend had notified me sooner, because I was completely oblivious. I was watching the show. There's a group of people that were coming down the aisle, no more than 2 feet away from me. And I see them walk by, and then there's a person in there shaking hands with people as he's going backstage. And my girlfriend turns to me and goes, "You didn't want to say hi to Danny Harrison? He was standing right next to you."
Oh, yeah. I said,
what? Yeah, there he goes.
Oh, you do that, man. Seen it many times.
Yep. Haney's seen it with me.
What'd you think about the show?
I thought, I said this as soon as the show got done. It was the third in the top three best concerts I ever saw.
I said the same thing. World class. It sounded excellent. It looked excellent. Danny doing his dad's part in the Wilbury song.
Yep. It was spectacular.
Yeah,
and he was awesome. His voice.
How many people? How many people did he have on stage backing him up?
Oh man,
I counted 14.
He had a string section.
Yep.
He had two male co-vocalists. He had a female vocalist to do the opera singing and all of that. He had just
three keyboardists.
Nice,
phenomenal. And he said that, I saw a documentary that he was doing or an interview before he went on the show. He said the music that they do is so complicated and so layered that they had to rehearse with this. And he said, "I finally feel good about going out and do this."
Yeah,
he
doing
says,
that
because
live.
Because I have the personnel to do
doing
it.
Doing that live is incredible.
Falls into the top three of best concerts that I've ever seen.
I'm with you. I see concerts all the time, and I expected a lot from him, and he lived up to it, if not exceeded.
He had 16,000 people on their feet for a guy that's 71.
Well, he knows what people expect, and he knows how to put it together to make it happen live.
Phenomenal. What can I get you, buddy?
No kidding. You know what? I think I'll have to take the Korn tickets from you.
Sure, we can do that, and that keeps you in the running for the front row seats for that.
All right, excellent.
All right, hold
excellent.
On, buddy. Yeah, he was nothing short of spectacular, and every song he did for over 90 minutes was something you knew. And he had the...
Not many people can do that.
He had the lighting, and then it looked like he had it all the way up to the ceiling. They had the ELO flying saucer that was just sitting above you, and he'd have all kinds of... He was great. It was just great.
What do you think was the highlight of the show for you?
Well, my favorite all-time ELO song is Mr. Blue Sky, which he did towards the end. And I really liked the Handle With Care, because he said, "I'm going to do something from my other band." and he brings up Danny, which was cool. But this was flawless at the show.
What part of the show did he do it in?
Towards the end. I think I got somewhere on my phone. I got his playlist, what he played at the show.
You mean his set list.
Yep. And it's the one, it's actually dated with the songs.
Does it say Handle With Care on it?
Yeah. Sure does. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. I'll tell you what he played at the show and the order he played them in. Here it is. Here's his set list. Standing in the Rain, Evil Woman, in this order too. All Over the World, Showdown, Do Ya, When I Was a Boy, which was from his latest CD that he put out a couple of years ago, Living Thing, Handle With Care, Rock Area, Last Train, Xanadu, the 10-538 Overture, Shine a Little Love, Wild West Hero, Sweet Talkin' Woman, Telephone Line, Don't Bring Me Down, Turn to Stone, Mr. Blue Sky, and then his encore was Roll Over Beethoven, which was their first hit, doing the Chuck Berry tune. Phenomenal.
Nice.
2779600.
I think my favorite is probably Do Ya.
It's a great song.
Evil Woman is one you can't get out of your head.
Ahoy, who's this?
Rusty.
Hey, Rusty, what's up?
Hey, I don't know if you heard while you was going on vacation, but Sammy, I got stiffed in Fort Myers. Hagar's coming back to town.
Yeah, I know. I had heard he's going to be at, I think, Hertz Arena, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
You know what else I heard?
What?
Alabama's coming.
Oh, well, I'd watch
can we them. Can we get the box for that?
I don't know. We'll find out. But
Because we had a good time at Junior.
Won't hurt asking. 277-9600.
Well, that's why I tell you, because you're not afraid to ask.
I'll ask.
I'm not afraid to ask. I just always forget to.
So at the show, by the way, police had to kick out a few people.
At an ELO show.
I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of this.
What would you have to do to get kicked out of an ELO show? I'm just thinking about the crowd.
Yeah.
And how would you do that?
By the way, a wide range of crowd from young 20-somethings to...
But I'm thinking the vibe would not engender itself to getting kicked out.
The only ones that got kicked out were middle-aged women.
Okay.
That their husbands couldn't handle them. I swear to God, Haney.
You saying that mom got a little tipsy?
There was, right in front of us on the floor, one, two, three, three or four women that got kicked out. Now, what happened was they were middle-aged women.
So what are you saying, like 50?
Yeah, 40s, 50s. And as soon as Jeff Lynne would start playing a song, they would jump, get out into the aisle with their drink in their hand, and start going up to everybody, dancing and bothering them. And they would go and try to get into the faces of other people there that wanted to watch the show. Usher comes up first, gives them a warning. You got to sit down, fire lane, got to stay out of the aisles. Stay in your seat if you want to dance. They basically told the usher off. Then security came in, gave him a warning. Then after two warnings by security, police came in, gave him two warnings, and then said, that's it. They hauled off one, they hauled off another, and then the cops went after another middle-aged woman who, as she is being ushered out of the show, her daughter, who's in another seat with probably her boyfriend or something, comes running down the aisle to try to save her mother from being kicked out of the show, saying, that's my mother, she doesn't know what she's doing, mom, settle down. The cop got so mad at the daughter that he kicked them both out. It was crazy. Only women. There was one poor husband there that could not control his drunk wife. And when the cop finally came to haul her up and out, he just threw up his hands and said, there ain't nothing I can do. Well, she's got to go.
He said, yeah, well, you may as well enjoy the show and then figure out where you need to bail her out.
Yep. Only women. Middle-aged women. A lot of wine drinkers.
Because they think they're immune.
Yep. This one woman that got kicked out of the show came up to the woman and her husband that were sitting next to my girlfriend and I, older woman. I had a 30-something couple sitting next to me. On the other side of my girlfriend was an elderly couple. I didn't know how old they were until after the show, but the drunk woman that got kicked out, one of them, kept trying to force this older woman next to my girlfriend to go out and dance, and she kept saying, no, no, no. And the husband, the old man husband, kept saying, leave my wife alone. Leave my wife alone. Show gets over with, and they turn to my girlfriend and say, we really enjoyed the show except for that woman. And my girlfriend said, well, if you don't mind me asking, how old of a couple are you? Because it looked like you really enjoyed the show. 91. Both of them were 91. Climbing stairs. They drove to the show. It was an hour away. They looked like they could have been maybe 70.
Wow.
And they were 91. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Chris from Naples.
Hey, Chris from Naples. How are you, buddy?
Ahoy, gentlemen.
What's going on?
Hey, I actually had two comments. First of all, you guys were just talking about Alabama, and I just saw that, yeah, they're going to be coming back around. Now, I saw that when I was like 8 or 9, maybe 10, at the Civic Center, and I was actually scared because they were shaking. It was like...
That place, the Lee Civic Center would shake.
we've seen it shake many a time with Fog Hat and Paul Rogers.
Yeah. Well, boy, yeah. I tell you, but I love Alabama. I'm not big into the country these days, but I love like older stuff.
Oh, absolutely. That's why we went and saw Hank Jr. over there.
Yeah, Alabama, they transcend genres. They're just that good.
Hey. Well, in Charlie Daniels band opened up for him, so I got to see two great bands at one time, and didn't realize how great it was until I got a little older, and it's like, wow, that was awesome. So,
what can I get you, brother?
Well, if I could just say one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
Did you guys get a chance to hear, and I just got to tune in here recently, did you get to hear Trump's speech, I believe it was today, when he was talking about... Congress people that are coming in that are basically hating on the guy. Yeah. Okay, so I'm sure you have your thoughts about it, and I'll just leave it there. But yes, and so that was it, brother. And
my comment to that would be God bless our president.
Yep.
Yes, and I appreciate that.
What can I get you?
You got any Peter mug?
No, well, we should. You know what? Hold off. I don't want to give you a prize. This week we'll have a pewter mug. We haven't gotten it yet, and I'd like to have you have one.
Well, hey, I've eaten there all my life, and I love it, but I'd love to have those corn tickets if that wouldn't be a problem.
I gave away my pair today.
Okay.
So,
well,
hold on.
You know
what?
He's a good guy. Do something for him, Stan. Make something happen.
I'll remember you. All right? I'll remember you. Can't do it. Can't do it. Let's one more. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, Stan. This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Your friend from Melbourne from 30-something years ago. Anyway, two quick things.
Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Okay.
In Brevard County.
Yeah. Go ahead. I got about 30 seconds.
Okay. When I was, before I could drive, would hang out with my folks up on Long Island, we used to listen to Bill Shibilsky's Polka Party.
Okay.
And we all used to laugh. I used to work in security at the Pensacola Civic Center when I lived up there.
Yeah, with the Pensacola ass pilots.
Yeah.
When they were good, yeah. Anyway, I would do security there, and I worked during the day at a printing company, and my boss, a younger guy than me, would shoot off one of those cannons.
96 K-Rock. We made Jason Priestley cry like a woman. And we can do the same for you if you're some sort of effeminate, drug-addled, washed-up asshole. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. We are back from vacation, and we're live for the foreseeable future. And we're glad to have you along. And coming up here, we'll get you updated on traffic, news, headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock Fluffer, your emails. Less than 25 minutes away from the Wayback Machine, as we're going to take a look at what was on the Billboard charts, the top five songs this very week in a particular year. We'll tell you when we get there, but that'll be coming up in about 25 minutes. So let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home, brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, one thing on the board right now, and it is a crash on Fort Myers Beach. It's in the parking lot now at Lagoon Street and Estero Boulevard. And you are up to date. Another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's going to tell you right now because he has today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
One of them, at least, is pretty effing amazing.
Okay.
And involves the U.S. president, so I'll try it again.
It does?
Yeah.
All right. Now I'll have to put my thinking cap on.
Did you leave it at home?
I've left it at home a few times.
Me too.
Yeah. And I regret it, but it's too far of a drive to go back and get it.
You know, a lot of times people see pictures of us and they say, well, why are you guys always wearing hats? Well, it's our thinking caps.
Yeah.
And if we forget them,
you're not, you notice right,
we look a little slow in the photo, yeah, if you see one without it.
Blunted.
A 58-year-old chess grandmaster,
ooh,
was busted for cheating by using his phone on the toilet.
That'll learn you.
A baby was born on July 11th this year.
Aww.
The baby was born at 7:11 p.m. and weighed in at 7 pounds, 11 ounces. Better keep an eye on that one. A man is facing DUI charges despite swearing he's a time traveler from the future. How far in the future?
How far?
The year, this will give you chills, 2019.
What?
Well, evidently he was confused and thought it was 2015 and that he was from the future. And finally, there's a little something we know about women.
All women are crazy and capable of anything.
A woman boarded a luggage conveyor belt thinking it's the quickest way to the plane.
Ah!
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter.
ELO show.
It's 4 o'clock Fluffer time, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, and Fort Myers. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
It is estimated that over 90% of adults today know their zodiac sign.
How many? What's the percentage?
90.
Right. 10% have no idea.
Mm-hmm. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
astrology fun facts.
Top astrology fun facts.
It involves all planets, but most of it is pulled out of Uranus.
Yeah.
Remember when science tried really hard to make us say Uranus and nobody would?
No. You know what it is. Uranus.
Believing that your sign says a lot about you says a lot more about you than your actual sign does.
Yes.
According to ancient Italian astrology, you know you found amore when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
I didn't think I went 2 glorious weeks without dealing with him.
Oh, I saw him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, who? Dave?
Yeah.
Goes and tells me, nice thought. He texts me over the vacation and says, oh, you know that movie yesterday that you saw? I got you a t-shirt from
He did.
Yeah, I said, did you get me the right size? Yup, large.
You really wanted that shirt too, didn't you?
I did.
Well, guess what?
2X.
He gave me a 2X, so I'll give that
Thank
to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Made sure I got the right size. Because he knows where his bread's buttered.
Darn right he does. You're writing checks at him, you know.
Top astrology fun facts. An odd fact here. It turns out 1 out of 4 professional astrologers are named Farah. If you were born on the cusp of 2 signs, the president would like you deported. Some people try to date based on astrological signs.
It's been known to happen, yeah.
We generally call these people single.
Yeah.
Oh, this will make you laugh.
What's that?
You remember there was a nice lady that thought it would be a nice idea if we got together for drinks.
Yeah.
And I kept putting her off.
Yeah.
And finally, I contact her and go, guess what?
Oh.
I've got 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
But you know what? We could make it happen now.
Yeah.
And guess what?
What?
It turns out she's too busy.
Laugh it up.
Seriously?
Seriously. I'm really busy right now.
Was this the first one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Blew you off.
Yep.
Jeez. She's the one that, you know, approached the whole thing.
Yeah. And so I said, I've got 2 weeks.
Certainly in 14 days, she could find one day.
Yeah. And
what'd she say?
She said that she's way too busy.
Yeah.
But I should keep her on my radar.
I don't know. What the hell is that?
I don't know what that means. I was thinking about getting a screen capture of the Nimitz radar with the tic-tac and sending that, but okay.
What the hell?
Because if you recall, I didn't initiate
this.
No,
you did not. No, you did not.
But I guess because it took me a month to do anything about it.
So what?
Well, I'll tell you right now, if that bothers her, it's good we got it out of the way now.
Get it right out of the way. Yeah.
I don't get along with people.
Nope, never have.
I figured you'd enjoy
that.
Yeah,
I did enjoy that one.
Top astrology fun facts.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here.
Scorpios are the most likely to crank the radio when Rock You Like a Hurricane comes on. People who practice it are called astrologers. They're also known as artists.
Yep. BS.
Uh. What's Your Sign hasn't gotten anyone laid since October of 1971.
Laugh it up.
And finally, the
that's
very...
That's a Dave line, too. What's Your Sign?
Yep. Well, he's a ladies' man. He knows what works.
Yeah.
And finally, the very top astrology fun fact.
Yes.
It always takes up the last page in the magazines your lonely postmenopausal aunt reads. And that, my friends, is the fork line.
Elvis, left the building.
Email time. Ahoy.
You know what? Elvis has left the building, but he's about had it with those freaks.
Bellboys. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
Thank you,
Freddie. We're all junk.
Yep.
And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to somebody else. I will rip your tongue out by the root.
These are long emails. I don't know how.
What are they about?
Well, this one is pretty interesting. What's the person's name here? Did they leave a name? No. You guys have talked about the Universal Fire. I am one of the guys who moved all of those tapes into the film vault a couple of years before the fire. At the time of the fire, I had moved to being a tram driver. We watched from the tram office as they first moved out all of the films from the vault. But before they could remove the audio tapes, it burned. What no one is talking about is that Universal sold the music division to David Geffen. So Universal really did not care as much as they did about the films at the time as they did about the films in regards of getting it a safe place. When UMG moved the tapes to the film vault, the film guys were just as rude to us. We had to make sure they did not need the scissor lifts and etc.
You said scissor.
I did. Not scissoring. But what I found strange is when the first move started, UMG found in the old vault 300 two-pack Shakur 2-inch audio masters that were just raw tapes. They also found a video of him telling his group to stop bothering him to mix the tapes because he was not going to be alive much longer. So just record as much song as possible. After they found his tapes, they moved them out in an armored truck to Santa Monica studio in fear of gangs robbing the vault. They believed that some of the gangs would pay $1 million for just one tape. And last that I knew of, Tupac's mother refused to release the tapes. And then I got a email here, but no name. This is from Mark. Ahoy, gentlemen. I hope you guys had a great vacation. You mentioned the flavor of McDonald's French fries way back when. There was a product called Stabico. S-T-A-B-I-C-O. Stabico. From Bunge Oil, which contains tallow.
Mm-hmm.
Tallow is the stuff that goes into the pop movie, popcorn, and all of that stuff that gives it the unique taste. It's a flavor without health issues associated with lard. The only drawback, it comes in a 50-pound block, and every chef prefers a liquid canola fryer shortening for convenience. If you want to go and have stuff taste, because it is, it's an industry, that tallow.
You know what? This is an interesting point, and I don't know that it's been explored. When did the war on things that taste good begin?
In the 80s. In the 80s. Let's see. This is from David in Naples. Ahoy, guys. I grew up in Pittsburgh and listened to the Jimmy and Steve show on WDVE. It was their morning show. Real funny guys. They always played cool stuff. One of my favorites was Bex Bolero. Could you please, at some point in time, play this?
We don't have time.
I know. Us older guys would appreciate it. You guys are funny. When Stan laughs, I automatically bust out laughing. I don't even know sometimes what he's laughing at.
Well, that's what makes it funny.
Just his laughter is crazy funny. Thanks for making people laugh. There is not enough of that in today's serious world. Signed, David from Naples. Thank you, David.
Well, I don't know what satellite radio has to do with it.
No. I may as well get in a part of the Guardian here, huh?
Any Jesus. Hot words we yeah, need to be aware
of
for?
Let's take a look. Ice. Traitors.
Does the
see.
Phrase hang them all ever work its way in there?
Let's see. Well, I got an F-U-S-O-B. Ahoy, gentlemen, guys. Welcome back from vacation. I trust you had a nice, relaxing vacation. Don't ask.
We did, and we did manage to wish each other a happy 4th of July. You remember how that went?
Yep. Yeah, I do.
I sent you a message that said, stand by our flag. Yep. And you sent me an emoji of an American flag.
That's what I did.
And that's how we celebrated.
Yep. We both celebrated in our own way. So a good thing that happened, my youngest daughter got engaged to a great young man. Congratulations, Jill and Aaron. So much happened while you were gone, and man, do I have a lot to say. We don't have a lot of time. I will try to keep it short. So really, no real surprises in the deep state. Just more traitors being caught in a huge pack of lies. I will tell you, I am sick and tired of people disrespecting my country and my flag. Here are a few examples. Over the weekend, you had some dump ass attack ICE headquarters with a propane bomb. And for his trouble, he's dead. Good riddance.
Yeah, the people, was it in Washington State or was it in Colorado, where they attacked the ICE building and put up the Mexican flag and defaced the American flag?
Then the jerkwads who pulled down the American flag and a blue Lives Matter flag defaced them both, then put up the American flag upside down, and then raising the Mexican flag. Well, kiss my ass. And finally, a bunch of little bitches from the soccer team. Hey, F you. Why don't you go scissor each other?
Well, they do.
Yes.
And nobody but me will tell you this, because they won't cover it. You might find it if you Google it. I swear to you, this is true. They just won the World Cup. And they had some other game they were going to play with Russia. And they were in Texas for this. And to warm up, they played a boys team. I think it was from Dallas Academy. And these were 15-year-old boys against the women's team that just won the World Cup.
Yeah.
And the boys beat them 5-2.
Atta boy.
These are the women's world champions. Yep. Who were beaten 5-2
by
a random team of 15-year-old boys.
You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
And for all of you right now, with your heads exploding, prove me wrong.
Yeah. Wayback Machine is next. We're Stan and Haney.
Sweet heaven. The Beasleys actually pay these two for this shit?
Oh, yeah.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. We're running late here. We got the Wayback Machine coming up here in just a second, so let's get you updated.
By the way, I was telling you about that one email.
Yeah.
Did you get the other one to send to the captain?
No.
About the coins.
Yes. Yes, I did. Yes. And he'll, matter of fact, he'll be in here on Friday.
Oh, okay.
All right.
We'll chat about then.
Yeah. Let's get you updated. Jets Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Just a couple of things. Fort Myers Beach, hit and run now.
Oh, come on.
19,000 block of San Carlos Boulevard, right by the Naughty Parrot. Fort Myers, disabled vehicle, Rod and Gun Club Road and State Road 82. And you are up to date. We do it every Monday.
Remind me at some point to tell you about my plan for Fort Myers Beach.
Okay.
It's the biggest thing since the Stand plan.
Okay. Every Monday, we take a look back, see what was on the Billboard charts for this very week in a particular year. Let's see what was on the charts during this time.
Hello out there. Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year.
This week in 1973.
Remember, you heard it.
Yeah.
I'll bet you danced.
AM radio was king.
Not so long ago. Now let's live it,
live it up
again with Stan and Haney. Number five.
Paul Simon. Love that Kodachrome.
And America kept wondering, when are they going to get back together, man?
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all.
Mm, that's true.
And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing.
That's the Stan and Haney difference.
The sunny day, oh yeah. I got an iPhone camera. I love to take a photograph. So mama don't
I want a Leica. Nightmare.
I know they never match my sweet imagination.
Now they bite
each other. Everything looks worse in black and white.
I tend to disagree.
Disagree?
That everything looks worse in black and white.
Oh, I do too. How's the television taking Houston? We can see a lot of contrast, very high contrast, but we can see the ladder.
Currently it's upside down.
But we can adjust that. Very good.
Yeah.
Here, I thought I was being a nerd, and you one-up me.
It's Space Week.
It was upside down.
It was. That's Paul Simon, number five this week in 73.
And if it wasn't for that one dish in Australia,
nobody would know. Coming in at number four. They were great. Three Dog Night.
That is the sound of the early 70s.
It sure
right there.
Is.
Mixed for AM.
Wash away my trouble.
One speaker.
Wash away my pain. With the rain and shambala. Wash away my sorrow. Wash away my shame. With the rain and shambala. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what's funny about me? In the 70s.
What's that?
None of it uses the N-word.
No, amazingly not.
And it worked fine.
Yep.
Everyone is lucky. Everyone is so kind. On the road to Shambhala.
That's the Stan and Haney difference.
Can't hear that anywhere else.
Absolutely not. And there's a reason for that.
Yup.
Kids were listening to this, and they didn't want to grow up to be pimps and players.
No. Although, don't kid yourself. This entire band was a bunch of drug addicts.
Oh, sure. But they didn't stick people up.
No. They had the money, so they didn't have a habit.
Yep. Read a great comment from the great Mico Minardo talking about the music business.
Yeah.
He said, it happens all the time when somebody gets a hit, or God forbid they get a hit album, the mindset immediately goes, I'm not the guy riding around in the van. I'm now the guy in the airplane, and it's always going to be like this.
It's not. Just ask Chuck Negra.
It isn't.
That's Three Dog Night, number four, Shyamala. Coming in at number three. The
Hitmakers, we loved them.
Voice of an Angel.
But remember, this isn't a solo act.
No.
This is a group.
There was a brother there, too, that wrote and played the piano.
Richard.
Yeah. And he'd do the nice harmonizing.
Those were such happy times, and not so long ago, how I wondered where they were.
She was a superstar in the 70s. Probably couldn't get a record deal today.
No. I know a lot of you are thinking like Chris Farley. Shut this down. You can't.
Every sha la la la, every woe still shine.
Yeah, enjoyed their career on the Alfred and Moss label. Every
they could do no wrong.
No.
Good gust of wind would knock her over.
Yeah. Skinny as a rail.
Barely there.
They warned her.
But the voice,
yeah,
never of an angel.
That angel thing. Always said, eat something. Eat something.
No, thank you.
No. There you go, the Carpenters. Number three this very week in 1973. Coming in at number two, they call them the Fifth Beatle.
Woo! I've got a song that ain't got no melody.
Billy Preston.
I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song that ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends.
It's so badass.
Yeah.
When I go round and circle. When they fly high like a bird.
What?
A point.
Oh.
I've got a story, ain't got no moral. Did the bad guy win every once in a while? I've got a story, ain't got no moral. Did the bad guy win every once in a while? When it go round in circles. When it fly high like a bird up.
Yeah.
No steps.
No.
got worked up there.
Yeah, he did.
The music move me around.
One of the biggest pros in the business.
Steps. Loud and proud.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let the music move me around. Will it go round in circles? Will it fly high like a bird up in the sky? Will it go round in circles? Will it fly high like a bird up in the sky?
Songwriters ever.
Why did the great ones leave?
And he had the number one hit this week in 1973. Jim Croce.
And we knew it all by heart.
Yep.
We used to sing it in elementary school.
Little south side of Chicago. On the baddest part of town. You better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown. Now Leroy, morning trouble. You see, he's standing about 6'4". All the downtown ladies call him Treetop Lover. All the men just
why did he have people in the studio when he was recording this? That was rude of them.
Yeah, really.
They're just talking.
Yeah, ruining the whole cut.
If I was running that, I would have kicked them all out. Hey, you out.
So when
Mr. Croce is working.
Jim Croce passed away, plane crash. They had to find another singer-songwriter to replace him on the label. And you know who that was?
JT?
Jimmy Buffett.
What?
Jimmy Buffett signed. After Jim Croce died, he was the replacement on their singer-songwriter list. See, again, what a shame.
Bet you Jim Croce wouldn't be hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein.
No. No.
Is it Epstein or Epstein?
Depends on who you talk to.
You know, I've noticed that. Taught us about Leroy Brown,
yep.
And he taught us not to mess around with Jim.
Yep.
Or Slim.
Begging and talking to an operator.
Yep. And he did not have time in a bottle.
No.
And he learned about Rapid Roy, the stock car boy.
Sure did.
I can't imagine the catalog he would have if he'd lived.
Incredible.
Because it came naturally to him.
Yep. Mark Haney and the news is next.
When life gives you lemons, crush them up and twist them back in life's eyes. Trust me, it burns. Oh, yes, it burns. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Mark Haney in the news here in just a second. Coming up at 6, it'll be Rob's show taking you through. Everything is now back to normal. Dave and Chuck the Freak, Matt Mangus, back where he belongs on K-Rock. Us, Rob, everything is set the way it should be. We got rid of a lot of the dead weight.
Don't do it.
Just don't. I'm not. I got to hold myself back. But, you know, it crosses my mind. About time. Clean this place up. Let's get...
Good. We're in good shape now.
Yes. Everything's looking good. Yeah, what you do is you cut the mold.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know, like the president was saying about those wildfires. If you clear that brush out.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you, K-Rock needed some brush clearing. We're all back to normal now. Way it should be.
Danger of wildfire now very low.
Yeah. Let's get you updated on
traffic. But it was starting to smolder.
Oh, it was.
You could smell it.
Yep, and the room was getting a mite boozy.
Yep.
Let's get you updated.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Jet's Pizza bringing it to us. North Fort Myers, hit and run. North Cleveland Avenue and North Key Drive. Lehigh Acres, crash.
For some reason, I just picture your old landlady still there yelling at people.
She had a sister, didn't she?
Oh, God. It was horrible.
Yeah, Lehigh Acres crash, Gunnery Road South and Leonard Boulevard South.
And she hated you, but she absolutely loved the people that actually did damage to the place.
Yes. Good boy.
Why can't you be more like him?
Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
Direct from our newsroom in color. This is the evening news with Russ Hodge in Memphis, Tennessee, Dan Rather in New York, Bernard Kalb in Saigon, Marvin Kalb in Wellington, New Zealand, and Bert Quint in Khe Sanh, South Vietnam.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, July 15th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Lost track of my Roman numerals.
Oh, yeah. A little out of shape, aren't you?
I am. I haven't been doing it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, gaping hole in your mouth like that. It's understandable.
Oh, God. And it's bothering me right now.
You went to a butcher.
Yep. Hey, Willie, I had my dental work done at a barber.
Yep. When do the leeches come off? Time now for things you didn't know.
All right.
And boy, do I have a whopper for you today. Abraham Lincoln's son, Robert.
Yes.
Was not at the theater when his father was assassinated in 1865. Mm-hmm. Having said that, Abraham Lincoln's son Robert was present when two other presidents were killed.
Yep. Can I say who?
Oh, go ahead.
First of all, Robert Lincoln, Abraham and his son Robert did not have that great of a relationship. They were friendly, but...
No, he liked Tad.
He was the older son, and there was a big break in kids because Robert was a grown adult when Abraham Lincoln went into the White House, and he served in the military during the Civil War. And wanted a career himself in politics and was very well established man in political circles. And I want to say that he was in a couple of cabinets. Well, you'd be surprised how long he lived. And he was around for McKinley later on. And I'll tell you the other one. Hold on. He was McKinley, and help me on the other one.
Well, Mr.
James Garfield. He was, I believe, in the Garfield administration. And he was there for both of them.
All right, so we've established Abraham Lincoln's son, Robert Lincoln, wasn't there when his father died. However, he was with James Garfield at a train station in D.C. when he was assassinated in 1881 by a piece of human scum named Charlie Gitto.
And then he was at the World's Fair with McKinley.
He was in the same building in New York when William McKinley was assassinated in 1901.
At the, what do they call them, the Pan American World's Fair or something like that.
Something that was a big deal at the time that we know nothing about.
Tell you another thing about Robert Lincoln that a lot of people don't know about. Lincoln's tomb was, the grave robbers tried to get Lincoln's body. They were going to hold it for ransom and all of the other things. And on multiple times, they had to move Abraham Lincoln's body. Now, where his body...
Oh, his body went on its own adventure after Lincoln died.
But after he was buried, they realized that grave robbers were going to go and try to get Abraham Lincoln.
Because they tried.
And they had to move his body to his final place where they sunk like 15 feet of concrete in there so nobody could ever disturb his grave again. But they had the coffin and Robert Lincoln, they opened it. Like in 1910 or 15 or something like that, and opened it, and Robert Lincoln had to go and see the body to make sure it was still there, and identified his father as, yep, that's him. Said his facial features were still there. You could still see some of the makeup they used because when he went on his big tour around the country, he started to decay. But he identified him. He was one of the last people to see the actual body before they finally sunk it into his tomb where it is now.
And you know, that kind of stuff still goes on today. I was reading about this during our break.
Yeah.
And my jaw hit the floor. We still don't know exactly what's going on with James Brown's body.
Really? I know it was not buried for like a year.
And then it was supposedly put into a vault. And because there are so many divisions within his family,
yeah,
we don't know exactly. One person suggests that James Brown has been mummified and that his body is in a bedroom in his daughter's house, that it was taken out of that vault and put into her house.
We used to do updates that he still wasn't buried.
And supposedly...
Never understood him. It was a whole different closed society.
Here is what we know. It's estimated that China consumes 38% of the alcohol in the entire world. But they don't drink anything you've ever heard of. 99.5% of the alcohol that China consumes...
Yeah.
Is a liquor they call baijiu. Sounds like a sneeze.
Yeah. What is it? Like a bourbon?
I'd bet it's a rice-based thing.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I'll probably get called racist for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I don't see how in the world that they're calling President Trump a racist just because he told that woman to go back to Africa.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't figure that one out.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
We are asked often if the Diamond District is a retail or wholesale jewelry store. Well, we're both.
We're wholesale diamond brokers selling to the public, and the Diamond District sells to jewelry stores around the country. We have the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find on the internet.
On the retail side, you can visit the Diamond District every day. We have a beautiful showroom where you can relax, work with an educated team of professionals, including two GIA graduate gemologists, and View the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, along with the largest selection of diamond fashion jewelry in Southwest Florida.
The Diamond District selection includes over 3,000 engagement rings from world-renowned designers, including Tacori, Verragio, and many more. With the selection, wholesale pricing, and comfortable environment, you simply won't find a better diamond buying experience than with the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, I don't get it.
By the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well. All right, I can work with that.
All right.
Okay. I know how I'll do it. Fifty-eight-year-old Igor Rausis is a chess grandmaster. Shockingly, he abruptly resigned from a tournament and quit the sport altogether. Why?
Why?
He was caught cheating during a tournament in Strasbourg, France last week. And he was caught after someone snapped a compromising photo of him sitting on a toilet in the tournament bathroom.
What, were they on a 15-minute break? Oh, there's the picture! It's idiot.
Sitting on a toilet in the tournament bathroom using his phone. Now, it's not clear if he was actually looking up chess strategies on his phone or perhaps looking at porn. But either way, it's frowned upon. You're not allowed to use your phone in the middle of a match for any reason. He pulled out of the tournament and announced to the world he has now played, quote, his last game.
Yeah.
He was ranked 56th in the world going into the tournament.
I wouldn't brag.
But after coming out of the bathroom, well.
Yeah. Haney, you know this, and I can't remember for the life of me. What was the chess game that came with every old computer? Remember, it was one of the games that you had it in the computer.
Oh, yeah.
What was it called?
Chess?
No, it was called something. It had a name.
Chess? I think it's called chess, Dan.
I understand. It was something chess.
He has been suspected of cheating before, but they couldn't prove it. His rank in the chess world had skyrocketed over the past 6 years thanks to a suspiciously unprecedented winning streak.
Cheating.
Now, he's 58 years old, and he's been doing this his whole life, and those in the know in the chess subculture say that kind of improvement is unheard of for someone his age. At 58, you don't suddenly go to another level.
Your brain's deteriorating. Look at us.
Exactly, and he is the oldest player in chess's Hot 100.
Jeez.
I didn't know they had a Hot 100.
I didn't know either. Microsoft had their own chess
game. I know.
And it was called...
And I don't remember. Called chess. Right there by solitaire.
Yes.
Minesweeper.
Oh, you know that one.
Yeah.
What was the chess one called?
I think it's called chess. It's a simulation of the actual game chess.
And the guy would talk to you on your move that you made.
I don't remember that part of it.
Yeah.
I don't think my computer had a sound card. But yeah, there was so much American productivity wasted by those pre-installed Microsoft games
because
bosses didn't know about them at first.
Oh, play solitaire and Minesweeper and that chess game. What was it called?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know what to do if I had a real job now and I wanted to screw off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you start to open something and then you'll get a message from the internal network telling you this has been banned. Your attempted access has been logged. They know everything now. And I guess we're just such run-of-the-mill F-ups, nobody cares.
Yeah. Stopped caring years ago.
Oh, yeah. They can. They have the ability to listen to us everywhere in this building, in our car, at home. But they stopped years ago because it bores them.
Yep. This is what we're listening to?
Yeah.
Yep. Sure.
They go, we basically get the same stuff the public gets.
Yep.
How does anyone live like this?
Yep. Well, been asking ourselves that same question for going on 20 some odd year now.
Well, I'll be damned if I'm going to pay for someone to monitor this.
Yep.
There is a 42-year-old man named Jason Kolb from Conestoga, Pennsylvania. Last week.
I think it's Conestoga.
No.
I think it's Conestoga.
Why would you call it that when it's for the Conestoga wagon?
I think it's Conestoga. Is it an A?
No.
It's an O?
Yeah.
My bad. My bad on that.
Considering if I'd stayed in Pennsylvania, I would have gone to Conestoga High School.
Okay.
I should know.
But it's my bad on that one.
Mr. Budinski? That's an unforced error, Stan.
Yeah. Should have learned my lesson.
Yeah, you should have.
Okay,
yeah, every time you question me.
You don't have to linger on it.
Every time you question me. And if I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. But if I tell you I do.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, well, if I tell you I do.
Because don't they have the Conestoga Bakery?
No, let's see. Should be the Conestoga Bakery, unless they spell it with an A. Conestoga is based on the Conestoga wagon.
Was that like a covered wagon?
Yeah.
Like that settled the Old West?
Yeah. Like what the Sooners rode across the plains.
Yeah. You know what? I called it a covered wagon.
That's a Conestoga wagon.
Okay. Good.
Remember, I had to do time in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Thank God it was only a short stint. So, last week...
Conestoga.
Yeah, but that's got nothing to do with Conestoga.
Oh.
It's a Conestoga wagon.
It's a covered wagon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're good. Everything's good.
Last week, 42-year-old Jason from Conestoga, Pennsylvania...
Whatever.
...went up to a random group of people and exclaimed, I've built a time machine... And I'm from the future. Now, you can imagine how shocked these people must have been. And, of course, when someone proclaims themselves a time traveler, your first thought is, well, what year are you from? Jason paused dramatically before answering, dum, dum, dum. The year 2019. Witnesses say that Jason appeared to be high on something and was under the impression it was 2015.
Jeez.
He showed dates on his mail and the expiration date on a can of oysters to prove he was from 2019.
That's a definition of psychotic.
Well, evidently the people he was trying to impress agree with you, Stan, because the authorities were alerted. And Jason was arrested for a DUI. He had an outstanding warrant, and police also found a small baggie of white powder from the future on him.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, yeah, you time travelers, you got to watch for those machine malfunctions. Awfully embarrassing when you think you're in 2015 and you're in 2019.
Battle chess.
Doesn't sound right.
Doesn't sound right. Our buddy Steve, the fisherman, texted me.
I want to say it was called chess.
Yeah, you might be right on that.
See, I know for a fact I'm not, but that will let it rest.
Right. Well, it's not resting inside me.
There's a lot that's not resting inside you.
Got that.
A lot of damaged materials in your mouth.
Yep, and active cultures.
Yep. Oh, it's a petri dish in there.
Yeah. I'll find out tomorrow morning, 9:30. Oh, my God. Butchery.
Show you a slide from your mouth.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, this was found living on the outside of the space station. Sorry about that, folks. I said Bill, right? A woman went to Istanbul Airport in Turkey last week and dropped her bags at the check-in. So far, so good. But then, instead of proceeding with the crowd to security, she was under the impression that that would be a bit of an inconvenience, and she wanted the direct way to the plane, so she thought it would be a great idea to hop on to the conveyor belt with the luggage, as that would be a more direct route to the plane.
I'm looking at it. Look at what? Watch this.
It's believed this may have been her first time in an airport.
Oh, please.
And, yes, as she made her way to the conveyor belt, she fell on her ass. Airport employees were able to remove her from the conveyor belt and point her in the right direction like she's stupid.
Yeah.
Video of back it has gone well left. Past viral.
Do you see in which direction she falls?
Back and to the left.
Left.
Simple physics. Yeah. Back and to the left.
Back and to the left.
And that's the news for today, Monday,
there
July
he is.
15th.
Little Mucky Haney selling it. Like
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
Thank you, Mark. News. Oh, I forgot this part.
Like it.
Yep, that'll do just
fine. Again, it's been a couple of weeks. What do you want from me?
Obviously, a major malfunction.
We'll take a break. We'll be back. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll be back. Stan and Haney. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Running short on time. Rob shows up next. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a couple of things on the board. Both Fort Myers crash, Briarcliff Road, and South Tamiami Trail. And we have a hit-and-run Fort Myers, 16,000 block of Alico Mission Way. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Anytime you're in an opposite-sex relationship, pregnancy comes up constantly for no reason at all. Anytime she had a little bellyache or she was sick to her tummy, she always had a friend that's like, uh-oh, you know what that could mean. Yeah, it could mean she walked down 2 helpings of lasagna without even chewing. That's my first guess. What do you got, Quizmaster? We're eating dinner one night, and she goes, I don't feel well. And her friend goes, maybe you're pregnant. Or maybe you should show up and eat your taters. What are you doing? It's rude. My friends would never do that. I have better friends than that. I could have a girl 8.5 months pregnant wearing a maternity dress. My friends would be like, maybe it's gas. I'd be like, I saw the ultrasound. There's a baby in there. They'd be like, maybe she ate a baby. One time we thought she was pregnant. That's a scary time when you actually have reason to think it. We went and bought one of those over-the-counter tests. It came back negative. It's not enough. She takes another one. She keeps taking them over and over for 2 weeks in a row. She's like, do you think we can afford to have a baby? I go, those tests are $15 a piece, sweetheart. We can't even afford to think you're going to have a baby right now. I just started buying blue popsicles and giving her that stick when I was done. She's like, this test has a joke on it. I mean, negative, stupid.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. We're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney live today, back from vacation. My name's Stan. There's my pal, Mark Haney.
Well, how'd it do?
We're going to do the grab bag just a second, but I had to print it up because there were so many. I noticed this probably about 16, 17 years ago, that whenever Haney and I go on vacation, a lot of celebrities die. Don't ask me why. We go away for 2 weeks in the summer, and then they start falling like leaves off an oak tree. Here's a list of, while we were gone,
people. Oh, is this going to be some sort of in memoriam?
Yeah, do you got something for that? People and celebrities that passed away while we were on this last vacation. I remember years ago, when Ted Williams died, they froze him. We were on vacation. But it seems that celebrities die when we choose to take time off. Here's a list of people who have died since we've been on vacation.
That's not appropriate.
That's too upbeat. Give me some sour.
I know what I'm looking for, but I can't remember. Give me 1 second here. Because I'm trying to remember a specific song.
Okay. These are people we've... These are people we've lost this time around when Stan and Haney take a vacation. Every summer, major people in our lives pass away. Just yesterday, last night, legendary boxer Pernell Sweet Pea Whitaker.
Just walking down the street.
Yep. 1984 Olympic gold medalist, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters of all time, died yesterday, last night, hit by a car. He was 55. A gentleman we've had on the show, and probably one of the first baseball players to write about the inside of the game, Jim Boughton, former Yankee, author of Ball 4. Died while we were on vacation. Denise Nickerson, child actress who played
Veruca Salt.
Violet Beauregard.
Oh, I thought it was the other one.
The gum chewer who turns blue from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Dead. Emmy Award winning actor Rip Torn. Know him, of course, from the Larry Sanders Show.
You know,
Men in Black and tons of other things.
What's interesting about him, he was in the business his whole life, but it was as he got older that he really got good.
Yep. Passed away. Ross Perot.
Great American.
Self-made billionaire. Businessman, made headlines. Ran for president in 92 and 96. Actually put Bill Clinton in office because he took votes away from George H.W.
You know one of the last things he did before he died?
Oh, contributed to the Trump campaign.
Max.
The Max. Guest on this show. Artie Johnson from Laughing. Very interesting. He passed away on our show. Trying to forget. The iconic automaker, Lee Iacocca. passed away. He saved Chrysler from going
they
under.
They say he did, but all he did was come up with that K car that was junk.
Yep. Also designed
and was in charge of some of the worst years of auto production.
Also designed the Ford Mustang and the Escort.
Well, let's focus on the Mustang and not saving Chrysler.
Right.
Because all he did was fool the public.
And then, of course, tragic. Tyler Skaggs, the starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels, passing away. All while we were on vacation this year. It always happens. Hills and trees.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.